The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects podcast. I'm David Sears with my very talented friend, host, and co-host. I guess you're just a co-host because you're not a host and co-host because we both host, Liz DeMoisey. Gifted and Talented Education Rejects is a podcast for the brilliant misfits, burned out brainiacs, and neurospicy overachievers who never quite fit the mold or did until they decided the mold was pointless. We qualified, but we weren't in the program. Now we're taking the mic. Liz, welcome to the podcast. How are we doing today?
We're doing pretty good. We're doing good.
You've had some fun adventures with your child in a battle of wills today
It has been a day. For those of you who have not mentioned it before, my son is autistic and I unschool him. And we do allow him screen time, but his screen time is a reward for putting his toys away and cleaning up. And, well, he just learned that mommy can hold her ground for 4 hours until he puts his stuff away.
Yeah, I would never get in a battle of wills with you.
Welcome to the podcast about midlife for all the grown-up former gifted kids who now carry gas relief tablets on their person at all times.
And if you've got your own gifted starter pack, the weird thing you always carry now, drop it in our comments or DMs. We might read a few on the next episode.
All right, so we grew up in an era of security rings, promise rings, park passes, and dial-up. So what did all of that actually teach us about love, fantasy, and finding connection?
I was always a romantic. Like, you got mail. I like that. Kate and Leopold is my favorite romantic comedy because it's Wolverine, Jackman.
And Liev Schreiber.
I forgot about that. Yeah, he is in that. He's in the present.
And it has Sabretooth.
Yep. Well, X-Men Origins Sabretooth.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be Sabretooth later on.
So I was kind of a romantic. I always kind of did the secret admirer stuff to girls. I would write them letters. Then I realized that if you write them a letter, they can share it with their friends and you can be a dork.
Yes, we can.
So I stopped doing that for a while. And I would just shoot my shot. And I didn't write it. So if they rejected me in person, then at least, you know, it was rejected in person. It was done. They just tell their friends instead of reading what I did to them. But I was very sensitive. I always wanted a girlfriend in high school, never really had one because the girls I liked always saw me as a friend. And I always liked the cheerleader type. And I was popular, but I just don't think I was ever cheerleader girl popular or dance team girl popular. Now they felt safe with me. They liked being around me and talking to me, but I was in the friend zone. And part of that was me, I think, getting cold feet after getting rejected by a couple and not just going, screw it, let's go for it, you know? But, AOL Instant Messenger was a lot of fun, talking to friends, just in doing that. And I found connections through that. In fact, Lila and I actually started out with me stalking her on AOL Instant Messenger when I was in college. Ooh. Yeah, when I was in college, I had a crush on her. She was my GA, which is graduate assistant, which helps the professor do stuff. And I'd finished up my class and I wanted to ask her out. So, I was about to finish up my class and wanted to ask her out. So I stalked her on Facebook, which was back then you only had to be a college student. You had to have a .edu college email address. And I looked her up on Facebook, found her AOL Instant Messenger, tiny major, cause she was a drum major and she's very tiny. And I randomly messaged her and played the whole, oh my goodness, you're so cool. I've read your profile. And then I asked her, your name's Lila. I have a graduate assistant named Lila. And then, we ended up connecting there. And as soon as I finished that class, I asked her on a date. And back when I was living in Birmingham and she was in Tuscaloosa, I didn't have a cell phone. I was very, very broke at that point. And we didn't have a house phone, but we had enough for internet. So, I would AOL Instant Messenger. We'd have date nights, on AOL Instant Messenger. So you can find connections and all that fun stuff during all that. So, that is my experience with dial up and finding love and connection.
I know my situation was not that different because I saw guys as friends, mostly because I played sports. I played basketball. I did karate. And I had just about everything back in the 90s that Sega made, except a Dreamcast. And I was into Star Wars deeper than most of the guys around me were. And I sort of came to the conclusion after a while I could not crush on the guys in my group. And yeah, I did for a while, but then I learned, wait, I know their secrets. And like, I know where the gross, crusty socks are kept. I know about the petrified Oreos still in the package under the bed. It kind of ended it for me. So I realized I needed a broader pond than the ones around me, but I still wanted to try to find someone who was into the same kind of stuff that I was into. So I typically had luck either getting dates or having like a long distance thing, like a chat thing on the Star Wars web chats that we haunted. There was the John Wildman Star Wars Cantina and Lobaka's Cantina. Because after you left, I was with Ron and Josh mostly, and Brian.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we couldn't put Brian and Ron together because they didn't get along with each other. So I was kind of like the cheating girlfriend going back and forth. And I would be seeing Brian on Saturdays and I would be seeing Ron on Sunday. And I could only get the two of them together on my birthday and say, hey, this is my birthday. It's about me. I need you guys to at least, you know, be nice and, you know, not pick a fight with each other, you know, for my one day. Okay. But yeah, so Josh and Ron and I used to hang out in John Wildman's Star Wars Cantina when we would do our Ewok LARPing type stuff. Cause yes, we did.
Was that because of the Ewok movies, or was it just because you liked the Ewoks at MGM?
It was sort of Ron and Josh's inception. I think it may have been Ron who started it originally because they got that little Shih Tzu, and the Shih Tzu looked like an Ewok. So I want to say maybe even Janelle was the one who started. That was Ron's sister. Janelle may have been the one that started it. And he, you know, said, oh, hey, it looks like little Low Gray. And, you know, we wanted something to do. So we like started our little Ewok group. And yeah, back in those days, I did like the newsletter for it. And I did Kank's gossip column because I was like the shaman. So I was just like reporting all sorts of like rumors and dirty laundry about the different Ewoks in the group. And yeah, we eventually took it onto the web and we would role play that we were an Ewok swoop gang. And we would go set fire to the Wildman's Star Wars Cantina and harass the crap out of everyone else role playing in there. That they were like a serious Star Wars character. And I gotta say, there was nothing more fun than this one guy who was like Stormtrooper 47, I wanna say that his name was. I think we made him lose his mind because he couldn't deal with it. He would be like, what? These little chaos agents? What? And he would be like trying to be serious. And we're just like, bro, we know you guys can't shoot for crap. You know, the swine poopers can't shoot. Good luck. I'll roast you. But yeah, my special move was humping legs. But, you know, then I would go back as another character, the one that I kind of came up with. And, you know, I would actually take it seriously then. But, you know, that was the kind of stuff that I did. The other place that I met people when I was trying to date was at thespian convention or the thespian competition. Whenever we would go to like the, oh my gosh, I want to say districts. Yeah. Whenever we went to districts, usually I could get a phone number. And the joke about it was in Poinciana that Poinciana got Dick and so did Liz. But no, I never actually did. I just got a phone number.
Well, you know, at least you had your priorities right there. So,
yeah. And, you know, worst case scenario, I had more fun doing just hanging out with Ron and Brian. And it's like, if I did like have any romantic type stuff, it was usually some guy I was chatting with. And I was like, okay, so I'm kind of compartmentalizing. I got, you know, these two that I actually do stuff with that I enjoy. It'd be nice to have it all in the same person, but one of them I see as my little brother. And the other one, I kind of feel like his seeing eye dog because I'm constantly having to tell him what other people mean and sort of interpret the world.
Well,
he can't really read the signals.
I know who you're talking about for both of those. So,
yeah,
but I think part of that was he did have issues with other people. He's probably got a touch of the tism. He's just never been diagnosed. But I mean, it's fun times learning and doing all of that when you're that age. It's part of figuring out life. And I mean, and you just want to kind of get your own feet underneath you and have fun with your groups. And sometimes it leads to romantic feelings. And sometimes you realize I really don't want to have anything romantically to do with these dudes. So.
Well, the other thing about it is like, if I were to date any of the guys in the group, that would mean if we broke up, I would lose my person to go do stuff with.
Mm-hmm.
And that would stink worse than losing my boyfriend.
Yeah. It is the Dawson Creek little thing right there with Dawson and Joey, you know, and Pacey.
Yeah.
So previously on Gifted and Talented Education Rejects, Smart Kid Energy, Dumb Life Moments.
I channeled the spirit of Wile E. Coyote while trapping a raccoon with leftover General Tso's. Spoiler, he won.
I tried to quickly change a tire and almost met a handgun to the head chest.
Not fun. Our parents are dating again. Mine's a swipe right menace and we lost access to the nice Costco.
Then the real talk.
Or she did.
She did. Then the real talk, how almost gifted becomes burnout, perfectionism, and a to-do list with side quests.
We shared fixes, 5-minute timers, meal prep, and ditching our all or nothing thinking.
And it's your turn. Drop your flop or midlife hack at Gator Official on Instagram. That's G-A-T-E-R Official on Instagram. Or you can follow us on other social media platforms.
Speaking of social and other news, David had a birthday this last week. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I had a good time. Got to eat my favorite barbecue restaurant for lunch with my dad, then dinner with Lila. And then this past Saturday, I went to dinner with my mom because, like I said on the last one, my parents are divorced. They cannot stand to be in the same room with each other. It's just very awkward. So I was very fortunate to have all that, got a lot of messages from friends. My nieces, gave me some sweet videos and a video FaceTime call. I had a great time. It was a great birthday, 43. We'll see what adventures are in store for this year. Still feeling out that year. So I really enjoyed it and got a lot of gift cards, which is nice, and cash.
Nice. Money is always well appreciated. I know I got something unexpected year before last. My friend Brandy, who I haven't seen like in a year, but share 15 TikToks every day with, got me a cameo from Sister Cindy. And she's a minister who does the Ho No Mo ministry and preaches purity on college campuses. Brandy told her that I was a reformed ho, and 15 years ago, I met a nice church-going man who turned me to the Lord, and now we have 5 beautiful children.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not really what happened. But anyway, Sister Cindy was genuinely happy for me, and I sort of feel bad that it wasn't the case. So, just like the fashions we wore in the 90s that you might be noticing back in your neighborhood Target and other fine shopping establishments, purity culture is making a comeback too.
So on a scale of true love waits to oops, I did it again, how badly did purity culture mess you up?
How much time do we have? You're going to have to go first and give us the guy's perspective, because although, yes, I have a female perspective, it's not typical. And the unspoken pressure of being quote unquote good kids, especially if you're gifted or the overachieving type, that was strong.
So I grew up, we went to a large Baptist church here. Right as I started going, really getting into thick and heavy of purity, and it was beaten into our head, sex was for marriage. Even if you're engaged, you can't have sex. It's only once on your wedding night's the first time you're supposed to be with each other. Like I said, I really had trouble finding a girlfriend, so that really wasn't an issue for me in high school. It was when I got to college, and I wrestled with that when I lost my virginity. I had a girl over to my apartment, and one thing led to another, and I realized I was torn about it, but I also realized it was a lot of fun, and she was really pretty, and she let me see her naked, and we got to do sex. So I was like, okay. So that was really nice. Now my parents freaked out when they found out about us, because at my apartment, my parents had a key. And my dad stopped by one morning to see me, and she and I were both naked in bed. We were covered, but I heard him come up the stairs. I thought he came up the stairs, and turns out he did. And he left without saying a word. And then I got a call from my parents, and they came to Tuscaloosa, and the three of us had a talk. So it was uncomfortable, but it was what it was. And
I'm surprised Wally didn't pull the Jim's dad in American Pie 2, where he's like, I didn't catch your daughter's name, but I sure hope my son did.
I wonder how that conversation between my parents went. Like, I was surprised he didn't just come to me and try to keep it just like between us. But he told my mom, and the three of us had a conversation as I was doing laundry at the apartment. They came in, and I couldn't look at him because I was embarrassed, but I was also mad. I was like, I'm in college. I'm allowed to have fun. So, but
yeah,
now purity culture, the college groups I ran with, some of the kids in the church were super committed to it, weren't going to get married. But there are also some kids that just like the first real girlfriend they had, they got married so they could have sex. And I don't know how those marriages went, but
I got an idea.
Like they were 19 and got married. Like one of my frat brothers left the fraternity, got married at 19. We didn't see him because he was with his wife all the time. And I don't know. I did not keep in contact with him. So I don't know if he's still married to her or what. But pretty much all my friends that got married early are divorced now. Now the ones that waited till after their senior year, they're pretty much all together. But for the ones that got married during college before graduating, I think almost all of them are divorced.
I have to say, it was not that same approach taken in our house. And it wasn't a religious thing, because my family kind of had like a holy war going on. Because my grandmother was Catholic, but they hated the church, or let's just say reasons. My grandpa was Baptist. My dad, you know, he's up in Kentucky, but he was staunch Southern Baptist. And my mom was Christian, but not really affiliated with any of the churches because she couldn't find one that she liked. And I always kind of wondered what her deal was because she acted completely disgusted by sex and always called it the nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'd be there 14 years old reading the romance novels with the Vikings and the Highland maidens on the cover and, you know, the Fabio books, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah. That's not nasty. What are you doing that's nasty? I mean, it's not realistic. B.C. Andrews, on the other hand, her stuff was realistic because it was over like after half a page. And then there was like drama that happened next. But I don't know if that's like Catholic growing up influence on her or what. But I was fresh out of the broom closet as somebody who embraced the old ways. So I wasn't exactly convinced that sex was bad. It's like I thought that you should have a connection. And you should, you know, have some sort of emotional tie to the person because it's kind of an energy exchange. But I wasn't convinced that it was a bad thing or that, you know, you should be married before doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But my family also knew that I was a total bookworm and that I used to devour the encyclopedias and my grandmother's old nursing school textbooks. So they weaponized it. Somebody got me a medical textbook for diagnosing STDs, and it had photos in it. It had like all the symptoms, the treatments, everything. And the goal was to terrify me, and it worked like a charm. But it backfired because some of my sexually active friends, and this goes into my whole mutant ability of people will randomly come up and tell me stuff.
Lila calls that social worker syndrome. Because like she and my mother-in-law, we can be sitting anywhere and people will come and tell them their problems.
Hey, you guys will be in Waffle House and someone will come up.
Exactly. Exactly. That's social worker syndrome.
Yeah. Or you'll meet your new best friend then coming out of the bathroom and you're like, I just met the nicest lady in there. Yeah. That's exactly it. But yeah, some of my fellow students who were currently active were coming up and describing symptoms to me and notes that they were passing. And I would be like, okay, well, that possibly sounds like it's a UTI, like a honeymoon cystitis. Friendly reminder, you need to pee pre-event and post-event and make sure his hands are clean before doing any handsy stuff. And definitely see your doctor because this might need a round of antibiotics. And honestly, their whole plan to like use too much information worked because I didn't have sex with anyone until I was 21. And I ended up marrying the guy.
See, I lost my virginity when I was 21 too. So I don't know if that, it was just something about that. Now, I did not marry the first girl I slept with. We're still friends and we talk, but I did not end up marrying the girl I lost my virginity to at 21. I remember the date. I am a nerd. I have that date written down. It is burned in my head that I know the date of when I lost my virginity.
Oh, I do too. Cause it was like New Year's.
Mine was the week after Valentine's Day. I was so lonely on Valentine's
Day.
I was so lonely on Valentine's Day, and then I ended up asking Leanne out on a date the following week in class, and we went to the gymnastics meet on a Friday. We went back to my apartment, and one thing led to another, and multiple times throughout the night, but I think the official time was after midnight, so it was February 21st, but like we started on the 20th and ended up consummating it on the 21st.
It was New Year's. And yeah, I ended up marrying him, which actually was a dumpster fire for reasons beyond purity culture. But if I hadn't slept with him, I would have never married him. And it wasn't so much a purity culture type thing in my case, so much as it was the overachiever, be a good girl kind of thing. that kind of got hammered into me. So it played a role sort of indirectly, but yeah, that was my deal.
So what would we tell our younger selves about sex, worth, and curiosity now? Tell us about it on Instagram or Threads at Gator Official. That's G-A-T-E-R Official on Instagram or Threads. Now, two people who both like Firefly don't make a love story. It makes a trivia night team. How important have you found common interests and personal compatibility to be? I say you have to have some degree. But I also say you take on the interests of your partner. Like, my wife never really liked she liked the X-Files, but when we started watching it together, she started getting into it. And then she loves Oasis. She absolutely loves Oasis, and it's a huge deal to her. So she was sharing the albums with me. And when we shared an iPod, I listened to the entire discography through 2007 of Oasis, and it allowed me to understand where she comes from and how that was. Oasis opened her up to the Beatles, which opened her up to Tom Petty, who are all her top three favorite artists of all time. So
Oasis is amazing.
They're very good. We went on a little bender last night. Lila had a rough day at work, so we went on a YouTube video and, What are your two favorite Oasis songs? Mine, Don't Look Back in Anger, and Bleeping in the Bushes.
You know, of course I love the greatest hits. You know, your Wonderwall, your Champagne Supernova, Don't Look Back in Anger. But my one that I really, really, really love, and it doesn't get much airplay, is Do You Know What I Mean?
That's a good one. All my people right here, right now. Do you know what I mean? I think it's very helpful, and you don't have to be completely simpatico where you share the same interests and everything, but I think it helps a lot if you do have some interests. And I think sharing interests is important. I think couples, when you have one couple that's like super into something and you share it with your partner and they absolutely take a dump on it and make you feel less for liking that, that's a sign you need to get out of that relationship, because if it's important to you, you should respect. If your partner's important to you, you should respect what they like and what they don't like, you know, and you shouldn't intentionally just take a dump on it because you think it's stupid. You may not understand it, but you know, if that's a big deal to them, then it should be a big deal to you. Cause when you are sharing your special interest with someone, that is you opening up intimately to them in a non-sexual way. And that is a form of intimacy. And I think it helps tremendously build that bond of trust if you can do stuff like that and grow and help make the trust continue to become stronger bonds as you get deeper into your relationship.
I've commonly had the hurdle of how you play being completely different. That's the best way that I can describe it. Like, the case in point, I love Ren Faires. I love the history part, watching the artisans do their thing, the falconing. But what I really love are like the shows, the music, the performers, the weirdness. I always look for the body boys. It is, best way to describe this is, it's pirate bardcore rock music. And there's also washing well wenches. I never miss the washing well wenches if they're at that particular fair. And, you know, it's one of those things where everyone is just, they're weird. They're all being like different degrees of weird. And it's great. And, you know, when I was watching Love on the Spectrum, I noticed James, you know, going to Ren Faires, and he's like info dumping about everything. And I'm like, I don't know why he's not going to the Ren Faire trying to meet a girl there. Because then you definitely know you have someone who'd be into that sort of stuff with you. And, you know, as an adult, that's one of the places I would meet people. Like, go talk to one of the guys who's over at the blacksmith area. Go talk to one of the guys over in the chainmail area. You know, talk to the guy who's like doing the history stuff. But one of the other things, and I miss this from Orlando, was just going to Disney World, because when I lived there, I did it constantly. I'd get off from work, and I worked in most cases either close to property or on property. And I would walk around at the resorts just to hit my 20,000 steps and sort of marinate, decompress. I didn't even have to go into the park and ride rides. I missed that kind of magic, the kind that's hard to explain unless you're a full-blown Disney adult yourself. And I miss doing things like pub trivia nights, paint and sip nights, mini golf. Those are little things that make life more playful. And I was always a fan when it came to dating of doing activity dates, not necessarily just going to dinner, because, you know, if food's involved, great, but, you know, sometimes you got to do something different from that.
And I mean, dinner and a movie is great and all, but Lila and I love mini golf. Like anytime we go somewhere, we are mini golf fiends.
Yes, if there's mini golf, count me in.
We're going to have fun. We love doing mini golf. Am I
good at it? Not always.
I'm good at it sometimes. And then there's sometimes
how well I know the course.
Yes. I get really frustrated sometimes and just like, instead of lining up my shot, I just smack it, you know? It's not exactly, not exactly the best strategy. You just get a little frustrated, but, I agree with you. You got to have that time and other things to connect with and other weird activities. Like, you can't just keep doing the same stuff over and over.
Right. Exactly. And like, I love going to the gym. I haven't been able to with my toenail injury because it's like cracked and it hurts and I can't wear closed-toed shoes at the moment. And, for those of you at home with a child who does not always aim properly on the toilet, please look down. This is your PSA. Please look down so you don't slip and jam your toe into the toilet base and crack your toenail.
Ouch.
That was painful. That was painful. But yeah, I was doing really well with it. And I think you have to find someone that gets why those sort of things matter to you. Like, I'm ridiculously awful at bowling and paint and stuff, but it's never stopped me from going because it's still fun. It's, you know, learning something new, trying something different. And there's something about someone who wants to show up for each other's weird little joys. That's the difference between someone who complains about the Renvere turkey leg lines and someone who will, you know, hold your flower crown. Your flower crown and wand while you brave ye old porta privy.
Tell us your weird little joy test. What's your version of the Ren Flair flower crown? DM us or tag us at Gator Official on Instagram and Twitter. Now, you mentioned being a Disney adult. We didn't start there. We were Disney kids. We grew up in an era of expansion on the property and each feel attached to a certain park. Disney MGM Studios, which is now Disney's Hollywood Studios, means a lot to me. And I know Animal Kingdom means a lot to you.
Part of it, I think, is because where I lived out in Indian Ridge, we could see the Tree of Life going up. Like, we saw this enormous tree trunk and we saw all the branches going on and we started seeing all of the stuff in the distance. And it was just really cool to watch. And then, like I mentioned in previous podcasts, my mom worked in a dental office and heard about projects from Imagineers and the other people who were working on things. And the entire park is enormous. Even before Asia and Everest, you know, when it was just like the dinosaur land, the Discovery Island, and, you know, the little rainforest area in Africa.
And Camp
even
Minnie Mickey.
Back when it was just all of that. Yes, Camp Minnie Mickey. You know, even back when it was just that, like, Brian and I used to go there a lot. And we would find little things to do when it was too hot. Like, I usually had a deck of cards on me. And we would go sit in Restaurantosaurus because the place was enormous and it was never full. And we would play spit or speed, and we would do that for hours. Like, we could have a game going. We would play for an hour or two, like waiting for the rain to stop or for the humidity to break or something like that. But if it was raining really bad, that was usually when we would go to the safari, and we would just keep riding that over and over again because the animals would be out, and the track would be extra bumpy then too. But back in those days, there were lots of areas that were just nothing but scenery and bench, because it was a very spaced out park. And if Ron and I went, sometimes we would work on murder mystery parties together. That would be one of the places where we got inspiration from, just being in those surroundings. And we were just like, okay, so our characters were explorers and they brought back an artifact. But the artifact was stolen, and one of them got murdered. So, and you know, we would just sit there, and there was like one pagoda. It was like a Coca-Cola pagoda, but you go in there and they didn't have any Coca-Cola. It was just like a pagoda and a benches inside. We wrote two of our murder mystery parties just right there. And it was really cool because this was a fantastical world to spitball creative ideas. But still, like, years later, I have to say Animal Kingdom is tied, for me, is my favorite park with Magic Kingdom. And I think maybe it's because we feel most alive, or where we felt most alive as kids says a lot about things that we're still chasing as adults too.
So I loved MGM Studios. My dad was one of the big wigs in publicity and marketing for then. And I got to see that park grow. I got to do a ton of photo shoots. I was in Time. I was in Newsweek, because my dad always used me, my sister, and then friends and family in these photo shoots for large publications. And I got to meet Rachel Hunter, the swimsuit model from Sports Illustrated there. Leanza Cornette.
She's Australian.
Yeah, she's Australian. She was a judge for Miss it was Supermodel back when they had the sound stages. They actually recorded stuff.
Yeah.
They had Supermodel International competition. And
yes, I remember that.
And I met Rachel Hunter, and then Leanza Cornette, Miss America, who was Ariel in the stage show at the Little Mermaid stage show. I got to meet her after she had won Miss America. She came back, did a photo shoot. I got a big kiss on the cheek from her, and I had lipstick on my cheek because, you know, you have to cake it on for photos and stuff back then. I met Kevin Clash, who now unfortunately has been tainted for sexual abuse and grooming allegations, but he had the Splinter puppet from the Ninja Turtles movie. And I got to get my picture made with Splinter, and he was in character the whole time. I got to meet Jim Henson at Disney MGM Studios, and just
rest in peace, Muppet Vision.
Hey, we're getting the Rock and Roller Coaster redone, so maybe they'll bring back Muppet Vision and put it in over there. That'd be nice. They're saving all the stuff from the Muppet Courtyard to kind of move over there. But
really,
yeah. They're archive, according to some of the Redditors on Disney that work for Disney, they're tearing down everything, but they're saving it, like the Pizza Rizzo sign, the Miss Piggy fountain. There's some of that's going to go back up over there in that section. That's the plan, at least. We all know how Disney plans change. But
yes,
I absolutely love MGM Studios. It is my home away from home. I hadn't been to Disney since 1996 when Lila took me for our honeymoon in 07. And we had 2 days at Hollywood Studios. And they had just rebranded at Hollywood Studios. You could still buy some old MGM merch. But I cried when I stepped there, when I stepped on there, looking down at what was the Chinese Theater, and they had just put up the giant sorcerer's hat. I
hated that thing.
I felt home, you know.
That was just awful.
It was. I'm glad it's gone, but I'm just, it was so much like home. So it's like you said, it's funny how the things that connected us as kids still shape what we chase now. The magic, the imagination, the sense of wonder, the feeling of belonging, just it's home, you know, you set foot there, it's home.
That is. And, you know, it's not about where you go. It's about who still sees the spark with you when you're there.
So whether your park is Animal Kingdom, MGM, a local Renaissance fair, hold on to the people who make it feel like home. It's very important. And you'll never be able to return home, but you can always hold it in your heart.
Yes, you can. And tag us at Gator Official on IG or Threads. Tell us your happy place or the spot that still makes you feel like a kid.
All right. So our closing question for the night, what's one little spark of magic you've kept alive, even if adult life tried to snuff it out? And to me, that is the magic of movies and comic books. And there's always something special about reading a brand new story you've never seen before with your favorite characters, whether it's Professor X being taken out by the new Phoenix Force of mutants who've all inherited the Phoenix Force after Tony Stark tried to destroy it, or a new Ninja Turtle adventure, or just going to a movie you haven't seen before and just being enthralled. Like, I love big blockbuster films. Like, yeah, you'll see a lot in the trailer, but just seeing the reaction of the crowd with you when surprises happen, especially the Marvel films. I remember we went opening night to Endgame, and the moment when Cap gets Mjolnir, that place exploded. And then when you hear on your left, when it's just Cap, Tony, and Thor, they think everybody else is dead. They think they're the only three left. And you hear Falcon go on your left. And then you see the portals. That place was just screaming. It's a magical experience. I know that AMC thing get cheesy with Nicole Kidman, but it's true. You really do feel a connection. And I think we're losing that with all the streaming movies and such. It needs to be a group experience we all watch. I think you need to experience these big movies with friends and family and complete strangers in the dark. You know, yeah. It's just beautiful. It's amazing. And I think we're kind of missing some of that now, especially with streaming, where you don't have appointment viewing. Cause I remember when Friends ended, everyone I knew who was a Friends fan, we were all watching that together. There was no Twitter. There was no watching it on delay or watching it whenever we wanted. We all were watching there.
Same thing with Frasier.
Yep. So I think we're kind of missing that in this day and age, that special connection of just the shared experience, whether it be everyone watching the same television show at the same time or watching movies in a theater together with a large crowd. I think those are some things that you can never take away and get rid of those special magical moments, even though adult world tries to crush it out. What's yours?
Before I answer, I've got a question for your question. Uh-huh. Who do you think would be able to lift up Mjolnir, aside from like the obvious Cap or
are you talking about any fictional character?
Any fictional character.
Samwise Gamgee.
Any of them.
Samwise Gamgee. That man is.
Samwise, yeah, I agree.
He's truly worthy. Without a doubt.
Definitely. Because if he was able to withstand the ring and its ability to corrupt people, then yeah, I think he'd be able to too. My person would be Ernest P. Worrell, and here's why.
Yes.
Ernest may go show it off to Vern and break some of the stuff at Vern's house, but he's going to use it for good. He's not going to use it for bad. And Ernest always has pure intentions.
He does.
But yeah.
One of my top five Christmas movies of all time, Ernest Saves Christmas.
Yes, exactly.
And I got to watch Ernest. It's time for Ernest Scared Stupid right now in this spooky season. So I got to watch that.
Fresh Hungarian Miak. I bet you didn't know I had any this time of year. It's like the meme says, your modern problems require modern solutions. And I miss making crank phone calls. But the universe has thrown me a little bit of a bone. Occasionally, I get random text messages from numbers I don't have in my contacts. And if I know it's not anyone trying to sell me something, like an extended car warranty or anything like that, and it just like it says, hey, or hi, or, you know, something like that, then I'll send something completely unhinged, like, hey, thanks for getting in touch. Are you messaging me about the goats for my pet anaconda? Because that was always like one of my favorite pastimes, especially up in Kentucky when my dad used to bring me to work with him. I would be sitting in the back office, like if Ron was up in Syracuse and Brian was in Boston and I couldn't call them, or if like my friend Catherine, if she was with her dad, if I didn't have anyone to like call and talk to, then I would be sitting back there going through the phone book and just finding people and making crank phone calls. And his secretary that he had for the longest time, Val, she used to bring her son Ryan, who was like maybe a year older than me, or I want to say maybe he was just like 6 months older. But anyway, Ryan was ahead of me in classes, but we would sit in that back office and we would just crank phone call businesses, or we dig through the phone book and look for names like Virgil or Mildred because you knew they would answer and they wouldn't think twice. If you said something like, hey, is your fridge running? And they would, yeah, my fridge is running, and you better go catch it.
You got Prince Albert in a can. You better let him out.
Yes, exactly. That's the kind of stuff. Or my favorite one, you always looked for a Hallie or a Dorothy, and you would get really hyped up, and like Ryan would start like sounding like he was crying, and I would start sounding like I was crying too. And then my mom said for us to call someone if it's an emergency. It's an emergency. And we would just keep that going for like about 3 minutes. And finally, when the lady would be like, well, honey, what's wrong? What's wrong? I would be like, the dog shit in the hall. And then hang up the phone. But yeah, after they invented Star 69, my dad had to take the phone out of the back office. I regret nothing.
There you go. We want to feature you in our next episode. Tell us your reject story. DM us on Instagram at Gator Official. That is GATER Gator with an E Official. Or tag us on Threads or Instagram so we can share it next week. Well, we got to get out of here. Go follow our official account on Instagram and Threads. It's Gator, GATER Official on both. From the link on our official Instagram account, you will find a link to previous episodes, updates, and links to shows. Your support for myself, my co-host, as a sponsor of the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects. Liz, how can they find you on social media?
I am at Liz_DeMoisey_books, and that is DeMoisey on Instagram. And I'm about to update it to take the underscores out, but I forgot my password again after resetting it. I've come to the conclusion I'm not very good at remembering passwords.
That's why I use LastPass. You just got to remember one password. It remembers all the other passwords for me. I'm at DavidSears75 on Twitter. At DavidSears1982 on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. It's DavidSears1982. I never use it. I just get videos from Liz and my wife. So if you want to send me a funny video, I can do it there. Liz, it's been a pleasure. Can't wait to talk with you next week, and can't wait to figure out what we're going to talk about next week.
Yes.
All right. For Liz DeMoisey, I'm David Sears. This has been the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.